Don't fall into fear. Join a community. Join a group of like-minded people. Start investing in yourself and start investing in hard assets. Forget about this crypto. Forget about stocks. Invest in something that you can understand, that you can control, and that you can start growing your wealth.
Hello, everybody. Jake and Gino here, and today we're discussing the recession. Are we headed into a recession? Maybe there's no such thing as a recession anymore. Inflation was transitory. 2 months of negative GDP were no longer the definition of a recession for some reason. This was the story of the year 2022. Now, enter 2023. Banks are collapsing. The economy is in a tailspin. Maybe we'll just come up with a new term for it, Gino. But anyways, we brought you in today to break things down. How's it going today?
Doing good. And we should say enter Sandman, my friend, because I think the recession's here. And I had to do a little bit of homework for this podcast. And I'm holding up my son's college macroeconomics book. I think we should ship one off to the Fed. And I think we should ship one off to Biden and his team, because they absolutely have no idea what the hell they're doing. They created it. But in this book, I really wanted to understand what the financial crisis is. Like, let's define a financial crisis. So I'm going to go through these six real quick, and then we're going to check them off and see if that's happened or if we're just making things up. Number one, asset prices boom and bust. Have we seen that happen? Has anyone ever heard the word Bitcoin? Has that happened? I would say yes. Asset prices have boomed and they're busting, and real estate for residential in certain areas.
Yes.
Okay. Check.
Check.
Number two. Insolvency at financial institutions.
Hold on. But also, let's back up. Even the car market, right? Car market was at an all-time high, and now it's come back down to somewhat of a realistic point. I don't say it's back to where it was, but you've had, you know, record high inflation, so it's definitely settled. So, yes.
Insolvency at financial institutions. Oh, yeah. Number two, the biggest bank failure in history happened a couple days ago. Silicon Valley Bank. We're going to get into why we think it failed. And you got Signature, this third one, failed, and insolvency. So the government's going back and they're trying to make sure that there's no rush on all these deposits, and that's a good thing. We don't want financial crisis. But when you're seeing insolvency at these financial institutions, that's a financial crisis. So we can check that one off. That's a big one right there. And let's go back in history. You got Lehman, and you had that whole fall.
And Gino, what year is that book from? Because, you know, you might need the 2023 updated version of updated terms, because a lot of things are changing definitions these days. So I would just love to hear what year this book that you have is.
It's 2016 by Worth Publishers.
So, okay, 2016, the 2016 definition of a financial crisis. That's what Gino's detailing right now. So, folks, Google may have already updated all this to not be the case. Just beware. We're going back, you know, prehistoric days right now to 2016 definitions. So just keep that in mind.
Number three.
For those that know, no.
Falling confidence. That is absolutely happening. People are starting to say to themselves, this doesn't feel right. Now, why doesn't it feel right? Because I had $100,000 in my crypto account. Now it's $20,000. Last year, number seven on record as the seventh worst on record for the stock market, down 22%. My 401ks aren't doing that great. And holy crap, a dozen eggs cost me $5. So there's definitely falling confidence. That, without a shadow of a doubt, is happening. I can see it in our businesses. People are starting to pull back money.
Uncontrolled inflation, too. It's demoralizing after a while. Right?
Yes, absolutely. The fourth one, credit crunch. We've seen the credit crunch because all of a sudden we're doing deals with seller financing. Didn't happen 2 years ago. Tons of credit out there. All of a sudden the cost of capital is really higher and we're having a credit crunch. And, you know, when we started in the business, 80% LTVs, we're getting it done every day of the week. We're seeing people come in with 50%, 55%, 60% LTVs. So you're absolutely seeing that credit crunch happening. And that's what happened. Debt is the circulatory engine of the economy. And when debt starts pulling back and government and banks start seeing that, they start saying to themselves, oh, I want to take less risk. I need you to have more skin in the game. And that is absolutely happening right now.
Hold on. I just Googled this. Credit card and delinquencies are skyrocketing. Credit card balances are rising at a time when credit card rates are also at a record high. So not only that, but there's a credit crunch in how people are borrowing and using that money as well. And this is 6 hours ago from the Wall Street Journal. So real time, folks.
Love that, baby. Number five.
Hey, I'm here for you, man. I'm like Joe Rogan's little assistant over here. I'm making it happen, all right?
Well, you are the Joe Rogan. I'm the assistant, bro. The next one is a recession. Very simple. Are we in a recession or not? I've been saying we were. I think when you look back in history, the precursors to a recession are rising interest rates. As rates start to rise, they know that there's inflation. Inflation is an increase in the supply of money, not rising prices. The cause of what happens with inflation when you're printing so much money, the effect is prices rising. So I think we are in a recession. I think we've been in a recession the last couple of years. I think the problem was COVID. We dumped so much money into the system that people felt comfortable. There was a large savings amount. They couldn't do anything for a year. They were stuck at home. So they were living off savings. Now what's happened is the irony is that people who are wealthy have had that money trickle up to them. And those wealthy individuals tend to spend less money. They tend to save more and invest more of the money. So that money is not going into the economy. It's not circulating around the economy, which is what you want to happen.
The circulation is going to slow because circulation takes from one person, gives to the next. Everybody's winning until it trickles up. And the people that hoard money, you know, tend to drip it out slowly, right? They're not, because they don't need to go out and, you know, buy the new TV when they get a little bit of cash, et cetera.
So, no, they buy an apartment building and they create jobs. And then those people that they create the jobs for are the ones who are spending the money.
I want to go back to historical definitions. I know we're in a new era, a new time where things don't mean what they used to. But last year we had two quarters of negative GDP. That is the textbook traditional definition of a recession. We're not calling it a recession anymore, but I just want to say we were here a year ago, even with the slushy money running around all over the place. So,
and who do we blame? I blame maybe three people. The government is always a blame because their policies, the way they spend money, the way they printed 25% of the entire currency that's in supply. I was reading this book here, this Econ 101 book. This book was written in 1996. The debt was $4 trillion. And they were talking about, oh my gosh, how much the debt is. I mean, like you think about it now, it's at $30 trillion. We keep printing money. We keep creating inflation. We keep creating these vicious cycles. So I blame number one, the government. Number two, I blame the Federal Reserve. They should have raised rates a lot sooner and made it more gradual. That's why we're going to get into Silicon Valley Bank and why that crashed. That crashed because all of a sudden they're buying long-term bonds. The Fed decides all of a sudden pump up rates real quick. And the people at Silicon Valley, didn't they understand that they see inflation? They know what's going on. Rates are going to have to go sooner or later. So they're taking these long positions on these bonds, and then all of a sudden they have a liquidity crunch and they have to sell them. Number three, the regulators. The regulators are the ones out there seeing this happening. Nobody was regulating Silicon Valley Bank. Well, I blame them. And I think the fourth one, I said three, but there should be a fourth one. It's us, the people. We're euphoric. When we see things happening, we see prices rising. It's FOMO, fear of missing out. I want to jump in. I want to buy that good deal. We're not using logic. We're not using rationale. There's no more cash flow. If it doesn't cash flow, you let the grass grow. What happened to that motto from a couple of years ago? People are like, you know, it's going to cash flow down the road. I'm buying it at a 4 cap. Time out. That's exactly what happened. That's what happens with the euphoria. You go into this. You go into the cycle. You go from a buyer's market all of a sudden to a seller's market. Now we're going back into a buyer's market. And I think the real culprits are those. You have the government. You have the regulators. You have the Federal Reserve. And you have us, who have created this massive problem.
I'm going to disagree with everything that you said.
That's why I'm the assistant. You're Joe Rogan, bro. Bring it to me.
It's the same thing that caused and this may be a little controversial, but it's the same thing that caused the 08 crisis. And it is social policy. And this is the root of all of it. You can't blame the Fed for something they didn't create. They're trying to basically save the ship before it sinks because of ESG woke social policy that caused the bank in Silicon Valley to fail. They leaned heavy into things that were very expensive, that were green technologies and a woke progressive agenda that essentially led to their demise, because that's what people said they wanted, and they promised something that they weren't able to fulfill on. And if you go back to 08, everyone deserved a house. So guess what? Everyone with a pulse and a heartbeat is getting a house, and they crashed nearly the entire U.S. economy. And this time around, it's starting with this sort of ideology that, hey, we're going to send people in these mines, you know, and look the other way and have them dig for all these minerals so we can, you know, drum up these, you know, cars that make us look green and happy and good. Meanwhile, it's not efficient and it's not effective. And therefore, you know, hey, this bank went on a limb. And then when the money dries up and it doesn't work out, boom, you got a huge problem on your hands. So I think that everything down the line was in order of the the worst to the least, you know, meaning that you talked about the Fed. Well, the Fed didn't create ultimately like the problem with the bank there. The bank lent money to things that weren't going to, you know, basically make it happen. They failed, and now everyone's left holding the bag, and then there's people trying to clean it up there that we're pointing the finger at. So,
Jake, even more insidious than that is that these companies, if you're an entrepreneur out there.
These are activists, too. I want to be clear. This is activism versus doing what's right for the investor. So that I have a big problem with that, too.
I think they're going to sweep it on the rug as well. But I think
you won't hear about this. You absolutely will not. Yes.
I think these companies are actually employing in racism, in my opinion, because when you're out there, you're saying equity and justice, and I need to hire 50% women and 20% African Americans and 10% Latinos. You're hiring somebody based on their skin color. You're not hiring based on their merit. And that's what this bank did, right? And they're not hiring the best, most qualified people. And when you're out there, you're analyzing a multifamily investment. Do I care if the investment is green? No, I have a fiduciary responsibility, especially
if I'm
a publicly traded company. Jake and Gino can do what they want if they're private, you know, as far as putting their money towards any kind of investment, because it's on us. We lose money, it's our families that suffer. But this company was taking money, donating it like the Sam Frank Bankman Fried dude.
Dude, we didn't even bring that up, but look at that guy's agenda. And he collapsed the entire crypto business because of the same type of mentality. Well,
okay, so that goes back to number two, insolvency and financial institutions. Basically,
activism versus doing what's right for the investor, and that should be illegal. And I think it was actually, at one point.
It is illegal because you're not becoming a financial steward. You're not going out there. But I'm talking about even the hiring practices. For all you entrepreneurs out there, you try to create a culture and core values in an entity. You don't look for somebody who looks a certain way or acts a certain way. You want them to fit your core values and your culture, and you hire them based on that merit. And these companies aren't doing that. They're producing stuff that people don't want to watch. This is public money. This is not private money. There should be no activism. You should be trying to make as much money for your shareholders as possible. It's take care of the customers. If you deliver a great quality product that Silicon Valley obviously didn't do.
And obviously, just to be clear for everybody, in an ethical and moral way, right? We're not saying you break the rules or whatever. You do everything within the law to provide the best value for your customers and your shareholders. And that's clearly not what's happening. This is activism 101.
I've got notes here because I really want to go through this really quick, Jake. Tech is definitely in a bubble. Layoffs are in every company. This company bought long-term debt. They got caught when the Fed raised rates. Their startup funding started to dwindle. All of a sudden, tech is slowing down. You're not getting that money going into the bank. They had a lot of big depositors. Over 90% of those actual funds in there were not FDIC insured. They started pulling out cash when they smelled trouble. They had to sell their investments for a $1.8 billion loss to Goldman Sachs because they had a liquidity crunch, right? SVB Financial Group's holdings, assets such as U.S. Treasuries and government-backed mortgages were viewed as safe. Now, what ends up happening is you're trying to compete a bank, trying to get Jake's money. Jake, I'm going to give you 0.5%. Jake sees the T-bills trading at 4.5%, and he doesn't have to pay federal tax income on those. Where is he going to put his money? You see what ended up happening? That's why, to me, the Fed really causes. Because if this was a little bit slower transition, some of these companies could have been able to pivot and change their business model. I think the bank was competing. I think the bank was really – they were around for 40 years. They're a huge, huge institution. They're funding all these ESGs. They're funding the Democratic platform. They're giving all their money. They're not doing the right thing, and they got caught. And what really pisses me off more than anything is the CEO, you know, sold over $3 million worth of stock last month. You got Cramer out there being a rah-rah guy telling people to buy the stock, and the employees on Friday got bonuses. Now, I want to leave the employees up because they probably, you know, I don't want to blame them. But listen, getting a bonus the day before you're becoming solvent and
they knew what they regulars, knew what was going on. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So the whole thing is just insidious to me. And like you see a company like this take down institutions, this has ripple effects. And then Signature Bank failed like a couple days later, which is servicing crypto. So you're seeing tech flying. You're seeing this is what I'm talking about with number two and number one, these asset price boom and bust and the insolvency of these financial institutions. This is the precursor. This is pre-2008. How is it going to affect us going forward? Not sure, but I used to hear the memes, cash is trash. Well, let's see if cash is trash in the next 2 to 3 years. I think cash is going to be great.
Yeah, and it goes back to, you know, it's activism versus doing what's right for the customer, what's doing right for the shareholder. That's the divide right there. And I want to go back to, because I do think we were talking about a lot at one point, and to be fair, the government printing too much money caused the inflation that is contributing to everything that we're dealing with right now. So just to go back on what you were saying, there's a lot of truth to that as well. So wanted to make that point before we sign
Jake,
off here.
So we presented the case. Are we heading into a recession after the bank? I mean, I think for me back in 2008, I was in a much different situation. I had four children. I had one restaurant. I had one stream of income, basically. And I was petrified. I didn't know what the next thing was.
It slowed down. I remember restaurants pre-08 in New York, how busy they were, and then 08 and post, the difference in terms of...
It happened so quickly.
Boom.
They pulled a plug. And what we ended up doing was we ended up becoming more of a catering establishment. Jake was coming in, doing pharmaceutical orders to the doctors. We had to pick up that business. We started doing barbecues. We started doing a lot of takeout. We started delivering.
All of a sudden, the pharma companies started having budgets. That was never a thing before. It was spend as much as you could. Like a lot changed, right?
A lot changed. And I think for people heading into this one, really cutting back on your expenditures, that's what's ended up happening from the personal perspective, not from the business perspective. From the business perspective, I learned back in 08, it was all about personal responsibility and about personal growth. That's when I started reading and I got a mentorship, joined the mentorship program. I really learned about multifamily. I met Jake in 2009. I said, Jake, what are we going to do? We need to start buying assets. We need to start buying multifamily. I've got a couple little deals here that they're doing pretty well. And that's when I decided to myself, there was the opportunity. The problem was this recession. 3 years ago, we were all presented with a problem called COVID. What did you do during that problem for the last 3 years? I think this problem right now with the recession is going to be very similar to what happened in COVID. Things are going to slow down. You have the opportunity now to dive in, do some personal growth, understand what you want to do with your life, and don't have the great resignation. Don't fall into fear. Join a community. Join a group of like-minded people. Start investing in yourself and start investing in hard assets. Forget about this crypto. Forget about stocks. Invest in something that you can understand, that you can control, and that you can start growing your wealth.
Yeah, and this is where the money's made, folks. I mean, to be very clear, the first 5 years after the Great Recession is when we had the opportunity to get the best deals. And all of a sudden, like I said, earlier on, the light switch has turned on and deals are coming back and there's less people competing for them. So I honestly, as a buyer, I love this time. Gang, as we always say, we believe in buying deals for the long term. We think in decades. We like to hold our assets for the long term because we believe that's where the real value is at. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy, and we make it happen. We'll see you next time.